We're here on the Ruby Room with Michael Grubbs Gruber. I think Grubbs is probably an official nickname for you, right?
Yeah, that's all anyone ever known calls me except for my parents. So I think Grubbs it is.
Okay. Well, I mean, that is on your Twitter and the Facebook and everything, so that's good.
Everyone's ridiculous.
Oh, say that again. I'm sorry. You broke up for a second.
Uh-oh. It's ridiculous.
Oh. All right, so first of all, I'll tell everybody who Grubbs is. In case you haven't heard of Grubbs, which, I mean, who hasn't heard of Michael Grubbs Gruber? Grubbs is on the ticket. He is the board op for the Hardline and also for Bad Radio?
Indeed.
All right. And so he's the one that's back there, also known as the Devil, right? I think people refer to you as the Devil.
Among many other things, yeah.
Awesome. So, Grubbs, how long have you been working for the ticket?
June 3rd will be 9 years for me.
Wow.
Started out as Norm's intern, and on board, you know, part time on weekends. A year later, and then after that, Dave, the new board operator at the time, was fired, and I took over Bad Radio. Then 2 years after that, in 06, took over the Hardline. So.
Wow. All right.
I don't know if it's a quick ascent or whatever, but it definitely all worked out pretty quickly for me, I guess.
Yeah. No, that's very good. So do you have, like, what's the next thing for you? Do you have any aspirations to be an on-air personality?
No.
What?
I think on the programming side, you know, the on-air side, you know, out in terms of what I want to do and can, like, doing now, to be honest, is as perfect as I could ask for the people I work with, the stuff that I get to do, you know, the freedom they give me to do my job, just everything is perfect, you know, and I get to sleep in until 10:45 at the one, which is really great if I've been to Barley House that night before.
Yeah, we're gonna ask you a little bit about the Barley House in a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we know that's one of your favorite haunts. So you've been there 9 years, not gonna be on air, you know, like you said, you like sleeping in, so that's always good. I've always thought that was kind of one of the coolest things about your job is getting to sleep in, and the hours are probably pretty good.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say I know that I'm gonna be working till 7 almost without fail, and you know, never have to stay after for a post show meeting or anything like that. So I basically get in around 11 and leave at 7, and that's that.
Yeah, you've got the good part of the job. I see.
No question.
Okay, Grubbs. So we've talked earlier. You said you're also, among other things, you're called Grubbs, the Devil, and then the one I've always wondered, what's the story behind you and Mike Reiner calling each other Shoopy?
It's a really stupid story, so try not to lay out on me when I get done. Okay. I'm taking that as a promise, so,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we promise, sure.
All right, whatever, but, okay, basically, I guess it started, at this point, probably 5 or 6 years ago, actually, off air. Me and Dan McDowell would basically do little Norm baby talk weird impressions, just, you know, Goo Goo Gaga, Chupi Bapa, just various combinations of, you know, silly, simple words like that. And for whatever reason, the one that kind of stuck when we would, you know, say hi to each other basically every day is, you know, Chupi, you know, Chupi Bapa and whatever. And so I guess at some point along the line, Killer, one of our engineers, caught me and Dan doing that. And so Killer started doing it. And, you know, he works all the road shows that, you know, Bad Radio or the Hardline do, or at least he's one of the main engineers. And so, you know, he would be setting up a show with me down the line and be like, hey, Chupi, you know, we're doing it on this signal and all that. So at some point, Mike Reiner caught wind of us doing that and decides to join in and says to me, hi, Snoopy. So basically, in our little world, he mess it up. You know, it's supposed to be Choopy, not Shoopy. But then all of a sudden that just came, you know, me and Killer giggled at him. So all of a sudden me and Mike are Shoopy, and, you know, if Killer's addressing me, it's Choopy, and it's just all really, really stupid. So basically that's just, it's basically just become, you know, mine and Mike's little pet name for each other, even though it's weird having both parties call each other the same thing.
Same name.
But, yeah, just don't think too hard about it. It's not supposed to make any sense.
No, I think that has something a lot to do with the ticket, you know. Some of that stuff just doesn't make sense, but that's why it's so fun to listen to.
Yeah, it's basically all just one big inside joke among friends, and if you get it, you get it. If you don't, then you're screwed, basically.
Hey, and that's funny, too, because I moved here just a few years back, and Greg that's here with us, he always told me, hey, you got to listen to the ticket, you got to listen to the ticket, and he said, give it a little while before you dismiss it, because you're not going to understand it at first. And he was right. I mean, it took me a while, but now, you know, I'm probably one of the bigger P1s around. So.
Nice. It almost feels like you have to kind of do research to really understand a lot of the stuff. Like, seriously, you know, when I first started listening, it's been a little 10 years, you know, just like everybody else, I didn't totally get it, but, you know, I could tell there's something that, you know, I really want to like, and so I started actually, you know, going to theticket.com or looking up whatever articles have been written about the station, and just, you kind of have to piece together the history of the station to understand a lot of it.
Right, yeah, and you know, they've got the book out now, which I read cover to cover, so now that helped me out, and then... I think it was Rad that was doing he was going through the history of the drops.
That was a really cool thing, yeah.
That was awesome. That was one of my favorite segments ever on the ticket, when you guys were going through that. And
yeah, hopefully if he fills in again, we can do something like that. Like, that was, you know, just a really cool thing to do, you know, kind of take advantage of the hardline time slot and, you know, just basically giving a history lesson.
Yeah, no, that was huge. He's a little busier now, right?
A little bit, yeah.
But I'm sure he'll be back. That kind of led me to my next question here, talking about the drops, because that's why they call you the devil, because you can place those drops in such perfect timing.
Hopefully, at least.
Yeah, as long as that Enco is working, I'm sure.
Which isn't very often, but never.
Well, but you do it so well at so many times. That's what we were always wondering. Like, for a while, I swore you had to use the 7-second delay or however long it is to be able to get it in such perfect timing. Obviously, that's not true. I mean, do you just have like this encyclopedic knowledge in your head of where these drops are and what buttons to hit, or how does that work for you?
I think that's essentially what it is. You know, for me, having been with the station for so long, having been a P1 for even longer, and just honestly, when I started listening, kind of figured out what everybody on the shows did, you know, and especially, you know, hearing the drops, I thought that's probably the coolest job, you know, I could, you know, do. Like, if I somehow weasel my way up into the station, playing drops for the hardline was seriously what I wanted to do, so... You know, I always was just kind of driven towards that, even though it's maybe not the best career goal. It's, you know, I've always been interested and wanted to do. And so, you know, like I was talking about, you know, I looked up as much of the history of the station as was available. And then when I started working the board, I did everything I could to understand every nuance of it. And then, you know, searching through the Enco, which is our sound system, which is just touchscreen system with, you know, thousands upon thousands of drops, I just learned as quick as I could and just really paid attention to how everybody interacted with each other, and I don't know, it's basically just a advanced improv show or something like that, and
yeah.
If I guess right, I get credit for it. If I don't, then everybody lays out and talks about how the wheels are shot off. So.
Yeah. Which that's sometimes as good as when you nail it.
Yeah, either way, it can be entertaining. So, you know, I just know that I'm going to get my my balls kicked if I mess up. So.
Well, all right. So last question about the ticket, and then we'll move on. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about pepper theft a little bit too. So you got all those drops. You got thousands of them there. Do you have a favorite or like a top one or two or three?
I try not to, but, you know, like, I tend to, for whatever reason, we just tend to go into cycles of certain drops are really funny. So, like, with the Hardline right now, you know, the big thing is the ticket petting zoo or whatever we call it now. And so, I guess, you know, there is a little bit of maybe leaning a little more towards playing drops related to that. But, honestly, I try not to have any favorites just because at any given time, you know, any drop in the system, you know, could be called for or would make sense to play right there. So I try and just, I don't know if it's a blank slate or whatever, but I try to not favor anything too much and therefore try not to have any favorite drops, as weird as that might sound.
Hey, man, you sound like the consummate professional right now, which is a good thing.
I don't know about that.
You're doing the ticket proud.
I'm trying.
There's tons of people that listen to us. Well, there aren't tons of people that listen to us, but if there were, I'm sure a lot of them might not know the ticket because some of them are going to be all over the nation because we have such a large national audience.
Oh, I know the feeling.
Yeah, so I want to switch gears from the ticket, and I want to talk a little bit about pepper theft. I know Sammy is going to be the one that wants to he's got some questions for you about that.
Hey, Groups. Yeah, this is Sammy.
Hey,
how's it going?
Keep playing.
Yeah. Another way people know you is because of, you know, your band Pepper Theft. And for people that don't know your band, Pepper Theft is a Red Hot Chili Peppers tribute band, not a cover band, but a tribute band, correct?
Honestly, I don't know what the difference is, but basically the point is you play Chili Pepper songs and hopefully get gigs and stuff.
Right. Well, I'm a big Red Hot Chili Peppers fan. Not too diehard, but, I mean, they've always been kind of one of my favorite bands. They always seem to have a good time whenever you know, any mood you're in, you can listen to Chili Peppers and, you know, it always seems to put me in a better mood.
Oh, yeah, me too.
So, kind of, how did you get, you know, why did you pick the Red Hot Chili Peppers? I'm guessing you're just a pretty big fan.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always been a fan, you know, but I started playing guitar actually right around the time I started working at the station, and for whatever reason, their songs just always kind of, I always gravitated towards their songs when I was trying to learn something on guitar, just because, I don't know, their songs are just, you know, the guitar parts are really fun and cool, but ridiculously technical, like, at least in terms of playing really fast and stuff. He goes for the melody and not the, you know, playing as many notes as possible in this amount of time. So I guess I was just kind of leaning towards learning the songs like, you know, Californication or Scar Tissue or even Under the Bridge, as much trouble as that song's given me. you know, I always kind of leaned towards the Chili Peppers, and after a while it just became, you know, how many songs from each of their albums can I learn, and, you know, still not great on any of them, but that's just, it just all kind of worked out, you know, and with that that failed night at the Farley House where I had to play those songs all by myself, you know, the upshot is that I wound up getting a band out of it, and we've actually become really, really good, despite me being in it.
Well, how long has Pepper Theft been together?
4 years as of St. Patty's Day this year.
Okay.
So 07 was when we first got together and all that.
Have you always had the same members, or have they all changed?
Pretty much switched out singers 3 times, and we've gone through 3 bass players, but me and the drummer have always been in the band. So.
And you knew that drummer?
I don't know.
You knew him from high school?
Grade school, actually, but yeah, I've known him for forever. Like, he's a couple of years older than me, but his sister was in my class, and I became really good friends with her, and then, you know, even better friends with Jack, with him.
Cool.
So, I just got really lucky, and he'll just basically tell me if I ever try and kill the band or anything, he'll kill me. So no matter what, I think I'm going to keep the thing going for a little while longer.
But, well, do y'all ever have any plans of writing anything original?
I know, like, our bass player has written a few songs, you know, that have never been released or anything like that. But, you know, he's really creative and can play guitar a little bit. And so, you know, he's always talked about, you know, maybe opening up for us or something like that. But, we've never gotten to that point. And for me, I'm just not a good enough musician to try and, you know, write stuff. And, you know, I don't have any angst or whatever that I need to really, you know, put out there for, you know, catharsis or whatever you want to call it. I like playing guitar. I like playing Chili Peppers songs. And somehow I got lucky enough to have an outlet where I can play Chili Peppers songs with some really, really good players.
Right. Well, we have a music spotlight that we showcase every week on the Ruby Room and during our podcast. And we've actually reached out to some local artists and some artists that are not from anywhere around here. But we featured them and played their music and just kind of showcased them, give them tour dates out and everything to all our listeners,
yeah.
All those thousands and thousands of listeners. But just to kind of highlight where they're going to be, you know, would there ever be an occasion where you'd want to show up, you know, maybe send us some files and have us spotlight Pepper Theft and give out some tour dates?
Yeah, that'd be great. We're actually taking a little bit of time off while the drummer graduates law school and bass player just start a new job, so he needs a little time too. But yeah, we should be up and flying again in a couple months, and I'll definitely be in touch with you guys and hopefully get some good quality performances, takes and all that, and we can either send the video or that audio to you, and we can promote that way. That's really cool of you guys.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, so in all seriousness,
mm-hmm.
does being a ticket employee, being on the radio, get you more girls than being a lead guitarist in a band?
Well, personally, neither seem to really be doing too much. So, but no, I.
Well, it was totally serious. Seriousness, of course.
Do what?
I was just saying, in all seriousness, you know, that was a very serious question. We had to make sure we get that one in there. Yeah.
Well, you know, with the ticket, you tend to have a lot more of guy groupies. So we figured with the band, maybe that's why you guys started the band, was so that maybe you would start getting the chick groupies instead of all the guys.
Well, if that was my plan, it hasn't worked yet. So.
All right, fair enough. All right, we've talked about the radio, we've talked about the band. Anything else you want to tell us about Pepper Theft?
Not really, just, hopefully we'll, get going again and really get to kick some more ass and play a little more consistently. That's been kind of Pepper Theft's little problem. It seems like we've never been able to really get a consistent gigging schedule lined up, just for whatever reason, it's always tough to, you know, coordinate four guys' schedules, I guess. And
we can barely figure out how to get together to record a podcast and just jam in a garage. So we understand that.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well,